Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom. We're now in Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Bet Amud Aleph, about to begin the final Mishnah of the second parak, which deals with proper respect to be shown to a king by a citizen not using his special things. En rochvin al suso, nobody may ride on his horse. Ve'en yoshvin al kiso, obviously nobody may sit on his throne. Ve'en mishtamashim b'sharvito, nobody may use his scepter. We'll find an interesting application to that rule. Ve'en ro'in oto kshu mistaper, we're also not allowed to see the king when he is cutting his hair, which will be discussion at the end of the parak. V'lo kshu arum, when he is naked, v'lo kshu beit hamerchatz, or when he's bathing. Shnemar som tasim alach hamelach, the guiding verse of all of this is the first verse of the command, you shall indeed place before in over you a king. Shtei mato alach, and the rule is he must be somebody that you have reverence for. Okay, Amar Yaakov, Rabbi Yochanan, Avishag mutarat lishlamo v'asura l'adonia. I mentioned an interesting application of Sharvit. Avishag, who was the consort of David, as he was a dying old man, was permitted to marry Shlomo, but not permitted to marry Adonia. And that's an important point, because if you look in Malachim Aleph, Perek Bet, you find that Adonia died because of his presumptuous request to have Avishag for himself, which is what led David to see Shlomo to see through the plan and have him killed. What's the reason? Shlomo was a king. The king may use another scepter's king. Because Adonia never was a king. All right, now Avishag Mahi. What's the story of Avishag? He was cold. They should request a beautiful girl. She was his consort. So Amra Nisaban. So Avishag said, according to the Midrash, said to David, marry me. Amra la siratli, I'm not allowed to marry you. Amra le chasre le ganava, nafshe le shloman nakit. So her take on this, in other words, his reason for saying asiratli is because I already have 18 wives, and I can't have more. So she says she said to him, chasre le ganava, when a ganav has no place to steal from, so suddenly makes himself very, very from, as if I'm not a thief. In other words, she's accusing David that David is incapable of marrying her, incapable of consummating a marriage with her, and that's why he was suddenly taking on airs of religiosity, saying, I'm not allowed to marry you. So Amar Lahu, Kirli the Batsheva, and that's why Batsheva comes in front of him. Of course, Pshat, and why Batsheva comes there is to plead that Shlomo should be the king. It's a nice way of saying David and Batsheva had relations 13 times. So two comments about this. One is that David demonstrated his virility to show that he really was not marrying Avishag only because of the prohibition. And the second thing is that we allowed David to be alone with Avishag, but we did not allow David to divorce Batsheva or somebody else in order for him to be able to marry Avishag, because divorce is a bad thing. And now we'll talk about that. And this is a piece that we saw at the end of Gittin. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Kol Garish Ishto Rishonah, a man's married and divorces his first wife, even the Mizbeach weeps for him. Shneemar. There's a famous passage in Malachi. Cover the Mizbeach with crying. And you, and this is the dialogue style of Malachi, you will say, why is this terrible thing happening? God testifies that you have been treacherous towards the wife of your youth who was loyal to you. This is all an allusion here to the disloyalty of Am Yisrael, to the Mizbeach, and to the Mikdash. Interesting drasha. A man's wife only dies, predeceases him, if somebody asks money of him properly and he doesn't have it. Shenemar, So don't put yourself into financial debt that if, literally, if they come and seek the money from you, they'll take your bed away from you. But the way they're reading it is take your wife away from you. So we heard about divorcing your first wife, but if his first wife predeceases him, it's like the Mikdash is destroyed. Shenemar, and this very, very sad passage in Yechezkel, the famous piece where Yechezkel is told that his wife is going to die and he may not mourn. His wife died indeed that night. And then Hashem says, I'm going to destroy my Mikdash, Machmad Enechem, the beauty of your eyes. And that's what he called Yechezkel's wife. So the death of Yechezkel's wife was akin to the destruction of Mikdash. Alexandri called Adam Shemeta Ishtobiyamav, any man whose wife predeceases him. Olam Chashach Ba'ado, his world gets dark. Shnemar or choshech bo'alo v'nero alav yidach. But his candle is dimmed. Shnemar psi otav nikatzor, his steps get smaller. Shnemar yitzru tzadei ono. Right, his steps of power get yitzru, they get to call it smaller. V'omar atzatono felet, he's not so good at counsel anymore. Shnemar v'tashtecheu atzato, his itzah is thrown down. In other words, these are all kicking back to that first pasuk about Or Choshech Bo'alo, the darkness in his tent. What's the darkness in his tent? His wife dying. Rabbi Yochanan, Kashel is Avgam Kuhiat Yamsuf. Now we go back to the issue of marriage, and there's a famous piece from the beginning of Sota. It's harder to match people, to properly marry, harder than create Yamsuf. Shinamar, Elohim, Moshiv, Yechidim, Baita, Motzi, Asri, Makosharot. God puts lonely people in a house together, people in a house together, that's marriage, and he takes prisoners out by kosharot. What's kosharot? Meaning either it could mean like the drasha, b'chag shu kasher, into a time it wasn't too hot, it wasn't too cold, it was Nisan. Right? But he took people out. So the idea is that the Kriyat Yamsuf, taking them out, was akin to, and perhaps not even as much of a miracle, as God finding people, mates for people. In a Yoram Arav, Abayim Yom Kodim Yitzarat Avlad, Bat Kol Yotzeit V'omer, Bat Poloni Poloni, Beit Poloni Poloni, that we have this notion of a batshert, of somebody who is predestined to marry you. So lokasha b'zivug rishon abziv gusheni. The Meiri in Sota says zivug rishon means the first date you went on, the first shidduch you had, as it were, not your first wife. But most people read zivug rishon means your first wife was predestined, but afterwards that was really very difficult for Hashem to do, and it's based on your own deeds. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman. Lakol yesh tmura chutz meishet nurim. You could trade anything in. You could find a replacement, except for the wife of your young days. Shneimar veish nurim ki timais. He said that's something that can never be taken. That's in part of Nevuot Yeshayahu, the Nevuot Nechamav Yeshayahu. That these are things that Hashem can't stand. That a wife of the youth is found rejected. That's where man finds his real comfort is from his first wife. Take rejoicement from the wife of your young days. Now, by the way, what that means, referring again to the issue of a wife pre-dying, obviously people get married and it doesn't work out, he's not going to find consolation with that first wife. So he said, what are you talking about? Amarlo kagon imach. So remember, he's teaching his own son, and he said, as an example, your mother, who was my first wife, this is what Rav Yehuda taught his own son, Rav Yitzchak, your mother, who was my first wife, she brought me great, great joy. Rav Yehuda used to tell Rav Yitzchak, his own son, the same son, he used to read the pasuk, etc. He says, I find women are so bitter, they're more bitter than traps. Marlokin on man, and his son said, who are you talking about? Marlokin on imach, is it like your mother? So the answer is, mitkaft kifa, yeah, she was a toughie. Ibur ma'abra mila, but on the other hand, she would forgive easily. So she would have a quick anger, but quick to release, and so he found a lot of comfort with her too. Hashvar unya mishpeh derav. Yisha golemhi, v'ena korete brit elamisha asa kli. A woman is like raw material, and she makes a brit with whoever it is who turns into a kli, meaning whoever has first beer with her. It's as if to say Hashem, who makes you, is the one who has relations with you, the one who is boel you. Tana, in ish meit el lishto, when a man dies, he dies as the husband, meaning When he dies, it's the wife's loss. When Isha Meta Libala, same thing, a woman dies, it's the husband's loss. And Ishmet El Ishtoshinemar, Vayamot Elimelech, Ishnaomi. When Elimelech dies, he's called Ishnaomi. And Ishmet El Ibala, when a woman dies, Shinemar Vanimboim Padana Metalai Rachel. When Yaakov tells the story to Yosef on his deathbed, he said, and Rachel died on me, meaning that I lost Rachel. Okay, the end of the Mishnah said, Ein Ro'inoto, you can't watch him when he's taking a haircut, etc. Alright, Tana Rabbanan, Melech Mistaper B'chol Yom. A king takes a haircut every day. Kohen Gadol, Me'erev Shabbat, Le'erev Shabbat. A Kohen Gadol takes every Friday. Kohen Edyot, Echad L'Shloshim Yom, every 30 days. Let's find out why. Melech Mistaper B'chol Yom, Shnemar, Melech B'yofyo Techzena Einecha. You should see a king in his beauty. So every time you see the king, it should be beautiful. Kohen Gadol Me'erev Shabbat, why? Shmuel Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan, Hol Mishnah Mishot, Minchadshot. The new Mishmeret comes in on Friday. Remember, the old one leaves on Sunday. They're both there on Shabbat, and the old new one takes over in the middle of Shabbat. And the Kohen Gadol wants to look good for the new Mishmeret that comes in. Kohen Edyot Echad L'Shloshim Yom, why? Dichtiv Rosham Lo Yigalechu, Fera Lo Yishalechu. They shall not shave their head, and they shall not let hair grow long. Pera Lo Yishalechu. That's in Yechezkel. Kasom Yichsemut Roshehem. We'll see what that means, a certain kind of haircut. Ve'alif para para mi nazir. Lo yishalechu, we learn from nazir. Tivacha para lo yishalechu. Tivatam gadel para se'ar rosho. What do we know about a nazir? Han shloshim of kan shloshim. A nazir has to grow his hair for at least 30 days. So therefore, if a coin is not allowed to be mishalech para, that means he can't go more than 30 days without a haircut. V'tananam is tan nazir, it's shloshim yom. That's the rule of nazir, it's 30 days. V'hatam and alan, how do we know it's 30 days? Matna the mer krak, kodesh yihiyah. That he's called Yihiyah. What's Yihiyah b'gematria? Tlatin hab. What's the sugi at the beginning of Nazir? Amar papa labaye. Ema lo lir buklal. So maybe the Kohanim shouldn't let their hair grow at all. Maybe they should get a haircut all the time. So amar le iktiv lo yishal chupera. If the Torah, if the text in Yechezkel, it said lo yishal chupera kedika amart. Hashach diu pera lo yishalechu. But it says pera lo yishalechu. So pera lehave. They could have pera, which is 30 days worth of growth. They can't have it go longer than that. So the order of the words tells you that they should let normal hair growth just every 30 days to get a haircut. So why don't we say the same thing applies to Kohanim today, that they should get a haircut every 30 days, and we're not makpid on that anymore. The answer is Dumi the Yain. Just like the prohibition against drinking wine applies, Mayayim is man biyahuda asr. It's only when you go into the Beit HaMikdash. Shlob is man biyashari. If you're not going to the Beit HaMikdash, there's no isr. Afrei Rosh, similarly, a coin having long hair, is man biyah asr. Shlob is man biyashari. It's only asr when you're going in. There's no Beit HaMikdash now. Wait, the yayin shlob is man biyashari. Since when are you allowed to drink wine if you're not going to the Beit HaMikdash for a coin? Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Omer ani, Kohanim asurim shtot yayin alam. I think Kohanim can never drink wine. If I try to do that, it's going to become worse because they're going to end up drinking. I'll drink more. So Abaye said, and so based on that, Abaye, remember, was a Kohen. Based on that, we Kohanim, why are we allowed to drink wine? The answer is, Kerebi, that we rely on Rebbe. The notion of takanato kalkalato, just to clarify, is actually as the result of the churban. We don't know whose mishmeret is, because think about this: when there were mishmerot and everything was set up, a kohen could drink wine whatever he wanted to, except during his week of being on mishmeret. And so now to have a circumstance where they can never drink because they don't know what the mishmeret is, it's kind of backwards. And so Rabbi says, okay, we can drink. But so Abaye says that we rely on that. Aval Michal Rabbanan Asri, so it sounds like the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi and say Kohanim can't drink. So if that's the case, then why are Kohanim allowed to grow hair long today? So Hatam Hainu Taim, Hainu Iban HaBeit HaMikdash, because the Rabbanan are saying that Beit HaMikdash can be built very quickly. We need Kohanim who can do the Avoda. Voleika. If they're all drunk. Same thing with hair. So why do we say you can grow long hair? The answer is, the answer is very quickly, get a haircut and go to the Beit HaMikdash. Same thing, if you have a little wine, so take a nap and then go do the Avoda. I can't imagine if the Beit HaMikdash is built, anybody could at that point take a nap. But alright, taking a walk or a nap any sort of nap or walking a meal will get rid of wine, the effects of wine. That's only if you had a revit of wine. More than that, the more that you walk and when you sleep, it actually gets the wine going. You just need time for the wine to go off, and you can't have that. Alright, so now Rashi gives a different answer. He says the reason that we allow them to have long hair is because shtuya yayin machli avoda. If somebody would go into the Beit HaMikdash shatui, it would make the avoda puzzle. Gaz Rabbanan. So therefore the Rabbanan made a gzeira even bizman hazeh, against Rebbe. Pruei rosh to lo machli avoda lo gaz Rabbanan. But if you go do avoda with long hair, you violated this thing in Yechezkel, but it doesn't invalidate the avoda. So meitevei, but we have a challenge to that. Ve'elu shemita, the following are chayav mita. Pruei rosh ushtu yayin, in comparison. So, the Torah says, don't come in drunk and don't die. So, you see your chayim mis if you do. How do we know if a kohen comes into the mikdash with purei rosh, he's chayim misa? And because in Yechezkel, the two are compared. And then what does it say? Which means, from Yechezkel, we see that the two are alike, and therefore, it should be the case that Purei Rosh are also Machalat Avodah. So Ravashi's distinction is difficult. And the answer is Kasha, you're right. So that doesn't solve our problem, but that leaves us with another problem. Said, how did anybody know this halacha before Yechezkel came along and compared Purei Rosh, or even notice the Isser of Kohanim growing their hair long? What did people do before that? Ravashi turned to him and said, we have a teaching from Rav Chista that we learned another kind of issue related to the Mikdash from Yechezkel, not from Moshe. That somebody who was Arel Lev cannot come into the Mikdash. Adlo Yechezkel manam rasu, who knew it before? Ela Gemara Gmirila, they had a tradition. Vati Yechezkel asma chakra. Yechezkel came along, and he connected it to a pasuk. Chanami Gemara Gmirila. Vati Yechezkel asma chakra, same thing. The Pruei Rosh is something we always knew, and Yechezkel wrote it down. Okay, in that pasuk in Yechezkel says, Kasom Yechsimut Rasheim. What does that mean? Tana Kaminti Sport Lulianit. It's a kind of haircut where the hairs lay against each other. Where each hair connects. The head of one hair is next to the root of the next. What's the famous haircut of the Kohen Gadol every Friday? Take a look at Ben Alasei, who was Rebbe's son-in-law. He did a special haircut. He didn't spend his money for nothing. So Rebbe is trying to justify this very luxurious practice of having a haircut every Friday, and a very special one. He said he was doing it so everybody would know what the tzipport of Kohen Gadol looked like. Hadran Alach Kohen Gadol. We've completed the second parak of Sanhedrin. In the next podcast, we'll begin the very exciting third parak, Zeb Borer. But in the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.